Hey, everybody, let's talk about game time tickets. If you haven't noticed, basketball season's right around the corner, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all the great action. And now with Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, it's even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And here in Los Angeles, there's not one but two pro basketball teams with two different arenas, so you need to see the view from your seat. You also need to all-in pricing feature I've been telling you about, so you get to see your total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hello, Short Porch, and hello, Freddie Freeman.
The Rich Eisen Show, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Snap back to Jones.
Ball's out of the way.
TJ Watt. And recovered by TJ Watt.
I'm not surprised by it, but it doesn't mean that it's not appreciated.
Today's guests, Indiana head coach Kurt Cignetti, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky, Atlanta Dream co-owner Renee Montgomery, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku Sports Channel. This Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, smart enough to have a Sirius XM Odyssey, tune in and more. We're in our 11th year here, just celebrated our 10th anniversary. First show we've ever had in the history of this program where we, like our first guest, match the fact that if you just Google us, you see that we win.
Pretty simple. I win.
That's it. Kurt Cignetti is joining us on this program from undefeated Indiana. He's joining us in a few minutes' time. He's going to be our first guest. Dan Orlovsky after him. Renee Montgomery in studio after them. Then Susie Schuster and Amy Trask in this studio for What the Football with Mike Pereira. They have questions. I hope he delivers the answers. That's later on. That's how we roll here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Rich, I'm great.
Good
What's
to see
up,
you,
man?
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts.
Good morning, Rich.
Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. Candles already lit, I can see.
It's great to be seen. I think the Mets, Dodgers would have been a better World Series than what we're getting right now.
I do believe the Dodgers have won seven straight against New York baseball teams, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, the Mets and Dodgers played, and it wasn't great.
Yeah, I know.
It was
kind of
better than this.
And the Dodgers have played.
The Bears would have been better.
It hasn't
right
been
now.
Great either.
It was better than this.
Yeah, I know. Yankees have as many World Series wins as the rest of the American League so far in 2024. And Dodgers up 3-0, going for the sweep in the Bronx, New York tonight. We will discuss all of that with you as well. 844-204-RICH being the number to dial. It's an overreaction Monday on a Tuesday show. Chris Brockman and I stayed after class for Overreaction Monday. Check that out wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate you doing that. And as always on this Tuesday show, we begin with a Monday night review presented by Lowe's right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Now, it's been a bit since I've been to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, so I will ask all of my friends in Western PA, if you are in that area.
I know what you're going to ask.
Pittsburgh,
Pennsylvania.
I'm just wondering if you can go look at Acrisure Stadium and see if it is in fact turned into a hot tub. Just want to know. Because Russ is in a time machine.
Black and gold. Here we go.
I have to say and admit, we had Russ on Friday. He was his usual affable, sunny, glass half full self. Why not?
Yep.
He accounted for three touchdowns in his debut performance in the final three quarters of a Sunday night game against the Jets that started with a few boos here and there because it didn't look very good in the first quarter. It looked very Bronco-ish from him. It looked like, you know, he and Nathaniel Hackett were in the same building together, which they were. In the first quarter of Sunday night. And then he put the pedal to the metal. Now what are you going to do to show up again? And against the Giants defense that I think we all saw last night as well is pretty damn good. That Dexter Lawrence up front We chatted with him over the weekend on our YouTube feed, our YouTube channel. And Brian Burns, and when Kayvon Thibodeau is healthy, that's a heck of a front. And they're buzzing around, and they can come get you. And Russ had a challenge in front of him. And he passed the audition again. Russ, with 278 yards on 20 of 28 passing. Touchdown call back on a hold. Touchdown overturned on replay because George Pickens just needs to do the routine things routinely. And I know I'm a guy sitting in a chair talking about him needing to get a second foot down when he's got two guys all over him in the end zone and then calling that routine. But in the NFL, it is. Didn't get his second foot down when it looked like it was a touchdown. Take that one off the board. But Russ is slinging it. Russ is moving very well in the pocket for a guy in his mid-30s. Russ is absolutely on point with the deep ball, as he always has been. George Pickens, when he does the routine things routinely, on top of all the other stuff he does in an eye-popping fashion, Russell Wilson to George Pickens is growing into a problematic combination in the American Football Conference, potentially in the American Football Conference Northern Division, that the Pittsburgh Steelers at present lead by full game.
Ooh, baby.
And the two Ohio teams are under 500. The two Ohio teams in Cincinnati and Cleveland trail the Steelers respectively by 3 and 4 games entering the second half of the season. Najee Harris has been born again in a way that we haven't seen in a couple of years. 19 carries, 114 yards. It's the first time in his career he's having 100-yard rushing games in 3 straight. He hadn't done it yet. He just did it. Arthur Smith is coordinating it. Najee Harris is running it. Russ is slinging it. 426 total yards against the Giants. Most by the Steelers this year. Just a touch above what they did last week against the Jets. In Russell Wilson's 2 starts, they've had 400 total yards each time. And last year, sometimes they didn't have 400 total yards in 2 games put together.
True that.
Calvin Austin returns one on special teams, yep, and caught one. First punt return for a touchdown for the Steelers in 5 years. Deontay Johnson was the last to do it in 2019. It is all cooking. See where I'm going with that? That's the old Russ. This Russ is smelting.
Smelting.
When you're in Pittsburgh, you smelt.
Smelt. And make sure the T's at the end. There.
Smelt.
Smelt.
Well, he dealt it as well.
Yeah.
He smelt it and dealt it.
Not like driving in L.A. this morning.
And it certainly wasn't silent, but it was deadly.
Hey-o.
As Russ continues on what the Steelers keep doing. Would you believe the Steelers have now, on Monday Night Football, in their last 22 home games on Monday Night Football, do you know how many wins they have?
22?
That's correct.
Double deuce, TJ.
Right.
22 straight home games on Monday Night Football that they have won. Longest active streak in the National Football League. This is Russell Wilson, now that he is 2-0, heading into the bye week at 6-2, leading the AFC North and having full control of this position right now. No idea that he might slip up and it's Justin Fields' gig again. That bird has flown, sir.
I never thought that was going to happen.
Here you go. Hit it.
I felt more fluid, you know. I haven't really missed many games in my lifetime, and you know, you miss, you know, 5-6 games, you just, okay, all right, you know, you got to get your rhythm. And the first game, you know, I felt like we had a great rhythm the first drive. Second drive, we had some things there, and then third and fourth drives were like, that's just ball sometimes. It's not, you know, it's not easy every possession, especially when you're going against good teams, you know, and so you just respond. I think the most important thing is just response. It's just, you know, a relentless belief in one another, a relentless faith and understanding that, you know, this game is a process. Each drive, you know, it tells a story, and each game tells a different story, and you got to be able to adjust and move and respond. And I think that's the part about these kind of games. I think as you go on in the season, as we get down the road, each game is going to continue to be a heavyweight fight. And the thing about heavyweight fights is you got to respond.
All right. So Russ is in full mode of being field at the mic. Mike Tomlin's got to be ecstatic, right? And singing the praises of Russell Wilson, right? Well, this is Mike Tomlin after the game.
You sense there's another step forward for Russ in his play?
You know, I just thought he, you know, he didn't need to warm up to it. You know, a little less rust than the week before. But I'm not surprised by his capabilities, if that's what you mean.
Last week he spiked the football, saying that's why I got paid the big bucks, right?
That's great.
After Russ had his big performance against the Jets. This time he's now like, this is what we expect. This is what we expect. That's Mike Tomlin saying this is what we expect. And you know what we also expect? The Steelers defense to do its job. And Alex Highsmith had 12 quarterback pressures and 2 sacks. The pressures were a career high. And then after the Giants defense down 8 came up with a big peanut Tillman punch. Everybody's doing that these days now, right?
As they should.
Of Russell Wilson, his first turnover in his 2 starts, and gave the ball back to the Giants. Who came up with the trifecta when there was a brain fart by Daniel Jones to not bring over the tight end to help chip T.J. Watt? That's right. T.J. Watt. Oh, you're going to single me in this situation? Got it. Sack, force fumble, and the recovery. Trifecta, just like that. Okay. They're doing it. Najee, Pickens, Watt, Highsmith, Russ, Calvin Austin now, right? And Tomlin and Arthur Smith heading to the bye week. So, what about down the road? We have been saying all along the Steelers need to make hay in the first half of their season because the entirety of the AFC North schedule for them, their division schedule, happens in the second half of the season. And after the bye, here we go, as they say in the Batman world, at the Commanders, home for the Ravens, Thursday night at Cleveland. Then they kick off December with Cincinnati hosting them, home for Cleveland, at Philadelphia, then the one of 4 teams that have a Saturday-Wednesday situation in week 16 and 17, because the Saturday has to happen because Wednesday is the Christmas day, mm-hmm. and you need the 4 days off requisite. So you go from at Philadelphia, short week, at Baltimore, short week, home for Kansas City, and the Steelers, what we mentioned before the bye, need to get everything in order about their quarterback situation and make hay in the first half of the season. And check, check, check the boxes. 6-2, and Russ looks like the Russ of Seattle. Hot tub time machine in Pittsburgh. Getting in that DeLorean. And setting the time, the calendar for what, that underwater the sea dance? What is it? What was that again?
Enchantment.
The enchantment under the sea dance, right? For, of 2015. That's what they got. And Arthur Smith has got to be feeling good. They got 4 wins out of Justin Fields while Russ was convalescing, and he comes back and he's 2-0, and he looks like that. Laugh all you want. It's against the 2 New York teams. Whatever. Jets and Giants defenses are no slouches. There are pro bowlers and all pros on both of them, on both front sevens. And they have Sauce Gardner in the back, although Sauce is not playing like the rookie of the year that he was on the defensive side right now for whatever reason. But those are not easy defenses in front of the country both times, under the lights both times. Check, check. We'll talk about the Giants later. That's your Monday Night Review presented by Lowe's. That was our chat about what happened on Monday night, presented by Lowe's, official partner of the NFL. It's easier to make the right calls with the right team. So kick off your next home improvement project with Lowe's. Lowe's knows Home Improvement. Kurt Cignetti of Indiana Football getting shout outs on Monday Night Football because Joe Buck went there. You heard Aikman mentions it every week just to try and get out of Buck. Trust me, if I was doing Monday Night Football and Michigan was doing what it was doing, I'd be talking about it left, right, up, and down. I'm surprised. Joe didn't mention Antoine Randall-El at some point last night.
Yeah.
You know, right? Guy who threw a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl from Indiana. Didn't he throw one to Hines Ward?
Hines Ward.
Yeah.
Yep.
To beat Seattle.
Yep.
One of Indiana's most famed players to hit the NFL, Antoine Randall.
Yeah, I was just thinking, is there anyone kind of more famous than him from Indiana?
I mean, Penix had some time there before he went to Washington.
That's true.
Steve Alford, you know, he's always.
I'm talking hoop, basketball, football here.
I know. That's
true. And a few running backs make it from Indiana. I don't know. But right now, it's the current Indiana Hoosiers that are 13th ranked. And next up for Indiana is Michigan State. And after that, home for Michigan. Oh, my goodness gracious. Are they going to be ready to make hay on that one? At Ohio State, the week before Ohio State hosts Michigan. They better not be looking down the road there in Columbus. And then home for Purdue. They negotiate that. They navigate that. And with Penn State playing Ohio State this weekend, it's entirely possible Indiana plays for the Big Ten championship in Indianapolis. How about them apples?
It's pretty simple. I win.
Trent Green, Indiana.
That's right, Trent Green. Pat McAfee just went to Bloomington. Maybe Bloomington can go to Pat McAfee. They win their next four games. So let's talk to Kurt Cignetti. Dan Orlovsky will join us top of hour number two. I know he's got some thoughts on Anthony Richardson as well as what ails the Jets and the Cowboys and so much more. And then in hour number three, Renee Montgomery, national champion at UConn, two-time WNBA champion in Minnesota, now co-owner of the Atlanta Dream, and she has a documentary, A Radical Act, Renee Montgomery, right here on Roku. And she will be here right here on Roku in hour number three. And you at 844-204-RICH in an Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday edition. Let's take a break. Kurt Cignetti of Indiana Football coming up.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
Ah, yeah, we're back, everybody. What's going on? You good over there, guys?
One of our guests
that we've been cultivating. I've been trying to get this guy on for weeks. Fascinated by what's going on in the Big Ten with Indiana football. One of my Michigan pals on our text exchange, like week two, was like, "Are you seeing what's going on in Indiana?" Because they play tough nosed, winning football, like just in week two.
Yeah, and they cover. You
know? Oh, Rich. God.
We know that was first and foremost on your mind.
Listen, obviously, Chris, that doesn't matter.
Of course not, but I've been making a lot of money on them. I just want that out there.
Certainly as a National Football League employee, I don't condone. I don't know what you mean by covering it. Are you saying with a blanket?
I was saying for the rest of our audience who might partake.
I have been told, though, that that's what winners do, right?
Yes. Oh, good teams win, Rich. Great teams cover.
Good to know.
Thank you.
I'm unfamiliar with such terminology. As you know, I turn into the unfrozen caveman anchor when those things happen.
I'm not speaking for you. I'm speaking to the audience.
Okay. Very good. 13th ranked. And when our radio audience returns in less than a minute, we will turn to Kurt Cignetti, the head coach of Indiana football. Again, getting a lot of run on Monday Night Football because Joe Buck is one of their most famous alums.
I guess I didn't realize that.
That Joe went to Indiana?
Yeah, like Mark Cuban's really out there as an Indiana alum. Obviously, you know, some other famous athletes, but
sure.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
College game day just went to Bloomington, Indiana. Normally that's, you know, when they go to for basketball. First time that they've chosen Bloomington for football.
Love it.
And that's another indication of the winning and the excitement. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Entering November, 8 undefeated teams remain in college football. And one of them has not been undefeated entering November since 1967. And that's Indiana football, fresh off a W in front of the College game day crew over Washington, getting set to take on Michigan State before they take on my alma mater, Michigan. Kurt Cignetti, the head coach of Indiana football, is here. How you doing, coach?
I'm good. You?
What a pleasure to meet you. I am a fan from afar, sir.
Well, I appreciate that. It's always good to have fans. In this business, you can be a hero this week, but everything next week's going to be based on the result on Saturday.
I that is spoken like a true coach right there. You know, I remember whenever I used to cover any baseball game that Tony La Russa did, I would see him before the game say, "How you doing?" He'd say, "Ask me in 9 innings." That's what he would say, you know, like that. And so that's what you sound like right now. How would you term your philosophy, coach? What would you say that?
I'm 42-year vet and 14th year as head coach. Been around a lot of great people. Dad was a coach, College Football Hall of Fame. Was with Nick on the ground floor for 4 years at Alabama. So, I mean, we're process driven. You know, it's all about come into a new program, change the way people think inside and outside the organization, high standards, expectations, accountability. But it's all about people, getting the right people on the bus and improving daily and never compromising your standards. And, we're pretty efficient time management. I'm pretty direct in sending the message, a few words, but make sure it resonates. And I'm a little bit old school.
Yeah, a little bit old school. I kind of pick up on that. So what is the through line, would you say, in terms of the players you're looking for? What would you say that you look for somebody, you go, that's a guy who can play for me, coach?
Well, you got to have X amount of ability, to play at this level. But production over potential. I mean, they've got to be good team guys, good character, be able to handle the ups and downs, the grind. It takes a certain kind of guy to be able to do that. Transfer portal is a real thing nowadays in college football, like NFL free agency. So, I really think most of the time, what percent, I don't know. The first 2-3 minutes you meet somebody face-to-face, you form an idea. It's not always correct, but you have a pretty good idea. And you've done your research on a guy. So, I mean, we need multiple guys that can kind of fit into the team concept. Everybody wants catches and numbers, but at the end of the day, when a team's successful, everybody benefits, all conference, all American, NFL draft choices, things like that. So Yeah, there's definitely a certain kind of guy.
Now, I understand I'm asking an old school football coach this question, but how was it to have College Game Day there, to be chosen by that program, or program, as McAfee would call it, to come to your spot?
Yeah. Well, coach, you know, we had it last year at JMU, so I made my notes because we were undefeated and lost. So I thought the players did a good job of keeping the main thing the main thing. It was a tremendous tremendous thing for the university, the town, the state, and a lot of people. It was wild, crazy. I had a little more time up on the main stage this year than last year. So, it was great. I mean, we had Big Noon kickoff the week before, and we're getting a lot of attention out there, but like we just talked about, you know, it's all contingent on, but it was excellent.
Yeah. And, you know, again, you're an old school guy, and I know you're just new to Indiana, but to have Corso there, right? To have Lee Corso there, Coach Corso from Indiana University for many of his years, to have him there, that a predecessor of yours, that had to be pretty cool, I imagine.
Oh, Coach. Yeah, it was great. I've gotten to know him a little bit the last few years, but, he a very popular guy. He had a really good team here, went to the bowl and won, and, people here love him. And, we shared a common bond, too. When I was growing up, senior in high school, I was the oldest. My dad was head football coach at West Virginia, came down with cancer, given his last rites twice. And during that process, we got a letter from Lee Corso, and knew the name but didn't know him. And, you know, he had in the letter a cross that had, according to him, you know, special healing powers. And that sat on top of my dad's dresser during the whole process. And as a family, we always really appreciated that from him.
I had no idea about that. That's pretty cool, man. Did you mention it to him when you saw him?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, was asked the question on the game day set. So, small world, you know, things circle back in funny ways.
They certainly do. Kurt Cignetti, the head coach of undefeated Indiana, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Now, Coach, obviously your Google Me statement echoed around quite a bit in our world, and so we did, in fact, Google you in advance of this conversation. And on this program, we have a segment called Celebrity True or False that we normally have with our actors, actresses that come on this program. You are the first person that I would prefer to do this with from the sports world to find out if what we have Googled is in fact true or false, if you don't mind, Coach, indulging me for this moment. Okay, here we go. And we have production value. And again, you're an evaluator. Please feel free to evaluate our production value. Hit it, please, for Coach.
Celebrity true or false?
You can't handle the truth.
What do you think, Coach, of our production value there? Be honest.
In terms of me?
Yeah, no, just in terms of what you think, just in terms of the television the sort of introduction that we just gave you right there.
I love that. True.
Thank you very much. All right. First one up. True or false? You were on the quarterback depth chart at West Virginia behind Oliver Luck. Is that true?
True.
Huh. And did you meet Andrew at any point in time? Or this was obviously before Oliver had Andrew, I imagine.
Yeah. Never met Andrew.
Okay. But what was it like being on the depth chart with Oliver Luck back in the day at West Virginia?
Oliver Luck, he was a great player, but, you know, he was a finalist for Rhodes Scholarship. You know, they chose like five, I think, and he was number six. And just a mega talented guy that had supreme respect from all of his teammates. And, he was like, in my mind, he was like an idol. You know what I mean? He had it all together, and he was so smart. He was tough guy, man. I mean, he hurt his ankle senior year. They had a trainer said he'd be out 3-4 weeks. He was in that training room 24/7, played that next week against Virginia Tech, could barely walk. I mean, he was a tough competitor.
What sort of quarterback were you?
A bad quarterback.
That's how you evaluate yourself back in the day?
Yeah, I'm a tough evaluator.
All right, next one up. True or false, Coach Cignetti, you coached Phillip Rivers and recruited Russell Wilson at NC State. Is that true?
Mainly true.
Okay. Why is that mainly true?
I coached Phillip Rivers his senior year, but was with him all 4 years. We were new staff, and he was a January enrollee, and he was just a terrific guy to be around. I mean, just loved to compete and was always up. And I was pretty heavily involved in Russell Wilson's recruiting. Yes, I do get credit for that, but it was a joint effort. And I left before he enrolled. That's when I went with Coach Saban to Alabama.
Right. So what did you see? You could tell Phillip Rivers was it, essentially, back then? Coach, you could tell?
You could tell the very first spring practice once you were out there on the field. I mean, he was just distributing the ball. I mean, he would process it so fast once the ball was snapped. He saw it before the coaches did. And, you know, people would talk about his release, but, you know, it was accurate. And, I mean, he was so competitive, man. He'd get in fights with linebackers. And, I mean, he was built like a tight end. And, you know, he never had a bad day. I mean, a great one. All-time great one.
He got into a fight with linebackers, Phillip Rivers, back in the day?
In practice, oh, yeah. Well, you know, Chuck Amato was a head coach, and he's a pretty fiery guy. D-line guy, came from Florida State back when they really had it rolling, was with Coach Bowden. And, you know, practices were pretty competitive, and something happened. You know, him and Pat Thomas, who played for the Jags, they got into it a little bit.
Okay.
And I can't remember all the details.
What did you see in Russ, though, Coach? Because, you could say overlooked his entire career, even now that he's 2-0 in his first couple starts for the Steelers. What did you see in Russ back in the day?
Really a sharp guy. His grandfather was like the president at Norfolk State. And really alert and smart. Wasn't the biggest guy in the world, but could really spin the ball. And we were looking for a quarterback. And I'll tell you who actually turned us on him was my brother, who was the offense coordinator at the time at UNC. Mm-hmm. And he tried to make a pitch for Russell, but they had already taken their quarterback, New York, whose brother was a basketball player at Duke. Can't remember his name now. And so couldn't take another. And then he came to our camp and really impressed us. And you know, he really liked NC State quite a bit, and what he's done in his career is remarkable. I mean, last night was the first NFL game I've watched this year. I actually got to see that new kickoff rule, man. It's pretty weird. I mean, that guy, he tore it up last night.
Yeah, no doubt. So you just peeked in on to see what Russ was looking like?
It was Monday Night Football. I wanted to see if Aikman was going to give us any play on TV.
Yeah, he did, though. He did. Because Joe Buck is Mr. Indiana, right? You know?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. He's world famous. Half as famous as his dad.
Well, I guess you could say the same thing, right? Next up, a couple more left for you. Kurt Cignetti. True or false, as wide receivers coach at Alabama, you coached Julio Jones and also as a recruiting coordinator there, helped recruit Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram to Alabama.
True. And Dante Hightower.
Okay. Let's not forget him.
That's right.
Let's not forget him. So Julio, Hall of Fame talent right from the get-go as well? That you saw that?
Him and Rivers right there and almost down the checklist. Never had a bad day. Great to coach. Couldn't wait to get in the meeting room with him. Would brighten up your day. Competed like a warrior every day at practice. Especially, I'll tell you what, you bring a big-time recruit, now they're called five-star recruits. You know, back then they weren't. Mm-hmm. You know, he was going to put a show on for that guy at practice. And always had a smile on his face. Always. I mean, one of the most genuine people I've ever met in my life. Special guy.
What did you pick up from Saban? And again, that had to be a neat moment for you. Corso on one side, Saban on another side, as College Game Day's in Bloomington for you. What did you pick up from Saban, Coach?
Well, quite a bit. I had been an assistant for 24 years, I think, prior, at schools that are mainly considered P4 nowadays. But I learned how to win from him. And after 1 year with him, like, I had learned more than, you know, the previous on how to run an organization, lead people, manage, practice, game strategy, recruiting, you know, structure an organization. But at the end of the day, I learned how to win from Nick.
What do you mean you learned how to win? What form does that take? I don't know.
Well, you know, it's a process. And some of the things I talked about earlier, mm-hmm. you know, it starts with getting the right people on the bus, wrong people off, and then having high standards and expectations in everything you do, and accountability, and not being afraid to confront people, you know, when they're not living up to the standard, and never lowering your standards, and having a blueprint and a plan, working it daily and improving. And if you're not striving, you're getting worse, because in this business, the margin for error is very slim. So you're getting better, you're getting worse. But messaging, how to manage a staff, how to lead a staff, how to practice, recruiting philosophy, how to structure a day, month, year. Mm. I mean, he was the most organized guy. But you know what? Like, we won 29 regular season games in a row. We took over our first year. We were 7-6, lost to Louisiana Monroe, 11th game of the year, and then won 29 regular season games in a row. And, you know, the big thing from him was avoiding complacency, because, you know, when you win, you have that good feeling, and you're supposed to enjoy it for 24 hours. But then you got to regain that edge, you know, on Monday as a player, Sunday as a staff member. And, you know, back then you didn't really understand kind of the method, so to speak, all the time. Now as a head coach, you do.
So you've been on the business end, is that what you're saying, from Nick Saban? Once a time?
Well, I said on game day, because they were talking about me being a maniac in the fourth quarter against Nebraska. We're up about 42 points. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, well, you know, as an assistant, I used to wonder why I was getting my ass ripped in the fourth quarter when we were ahead of Alabama. Now I understand. You know what? Because when you have a standard and your standards are not dictated by the circumstances of the game, mm-hmm. okay, then, you know, you got to keep your standards high. And it's easy, you know, human nature is to relax and be happy when you're up like that or going to win. But, you know, consistency and performance, which is the key to the drill if you want to be a champion. And really great competitors are never satisfied, ever, ever, ever. You know, you got to keep the standards high. And it's my job to send the message when I detect things aren't quite where they need to be, regardless of the score, the competitive circumstances of the game. I mean, when you're process-driven, you're playing one play at a time, 6 seconds, a player who plays got a life and a history of its own, fast, physical, relentless, smart, disciplined, poised, not affected by success or failure, on to the next play. You buy into playing that way, then you're going to play your best in those tight games at the end. You know, you're not looking at the scoreboard. The other guy is. You're going to win those close games. But you're also going to become the best you can be. And when you're preparing the right way and you've bought into that and you're committed and disciplined, there's really no self-imposed limitations on what you can accomplish.
And you're an expert identifier of rat poison, I imagine, after your time.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. We're calling those the warm fuzzies now.
It's very 21st century updating. I appreciate that. Last one for you. This is a simple one. True or false, Coach Cignetti, it's pretty simple. You win. Is that true or false?
That's true.
Okay, very good. Can confirm it. Very good. Coach Kurt Cignetti, thanks again. Really appreciate it. Good luck against Michigan State. Then you get my alma mater the next week, Ohio State and Purdue. Those are your last four. Good luck going through that part of your schedule. And I really appreciate you joining. It's been a pleasure watching your team play and then now getting to meet you. Thank you.
I appreciate that. It was great being on, and have a great day.
Right back at you. That's Coach Kurt Cignetti of the undefeated Indiana Hoosiers right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I think that was a very successful first ever sports.
Great.
Edition of, yes, Celebrity True or False?
Absolutely.
I think so. Who wants to run through a brick wall? Anybody? Anybody?
I'm ready to go.
Anybody?
I'm ready to go.
That's who you bring into the Big Ten right there. That's the mentality you bring into the Big Ten. Right? Anybody else?
He runs the table.
Sold, man. Sold.
I think we're going to see them in the playoff without a doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you've got Penn State and Ohio State this weekend. Ohio State already having a loss. It's crazy to say it in conference to Oregon. By the way,
right? But
if I think it's crazy to say it. Oregon visits the Big House this weekend. We might have something in common with the Buckeyes in short order. Never know.
But I think in terms of Indiana, I mean, they're big Penn State fans this weekend.
Well, so
get that second loss.
Or, yeah, right. Or you want Ohio State to beat Penn State. Give Penn State that first loss. Then you hand Ohio State their second personally.
Sure, and, sure.
Then, and now suddenly you're undefeated. Yeah. The only undefeated teams in the conference are Oregon and you. And that's how you go to Indianapolis to play for the right to host a playoff game after, or you get your right to have a bye week.
Yeah, you win the Big Ten, you get a bye week.
That's right.
Yeah.
What would it be like if Indiana plays for the Big Ten championship in Lucas Oil? Right? Say against Oregon. Where obviously, alums travel or whatever,
but
it's a home game.
Right.
Dude. I mean, I didn't even bother to ask about it. It's trending that his quarterback is going to be ready. Curtis Rourke injured his thumb against Nebraska and didn't play against Washington. He's expected to play against Michigan State. And then my alma mater comes in. That's where you put stamps down. Those 2 weeks, Michigan and Ohio State, that's where you stamp it, if you can. That's the state of Big Ten play right there. Big game in Happy Valley.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's right. That's your team. It was one of them. Certainly Florida State at 1-7 right now. So, so Penn State's your team, huh?
Penn State and Pitt.
Yeah, 3-4.
Well, I knew this going into the season. I was looking at the schedule, and I was like, if Penn State can just get past the Ohio State, they got a good chance to run the table here. So
I don't know what the rest of their schedule is.
But it's favorable, Rich. Yeah, it's very favorable.
We don't play each other, but
yeah. After this weekend, it's Washington, Purdue, Minnesota, and Maryland.
So it's very doable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if they win this one and then don't stub a toe, they're going to Indianapolis themselves.
It seems that correct. Way, right?
What happens if it's Indiana, Penn State, and Oregon all undefeated?
Great question.
I guess whoever.
I have no idea.
That's why we got Bruce Feldman coming in tomorrow, right?
And tiebreaker. Yeah,
we leave that to the experts like Bruce.
Because as you know, there's no divisions anymore in the Big Ten. It's just one big mosh pit. It's top two go. So.
Oh, my God. Okay, so this is from, the end of August. The Big Ten put out their new tiebreaking scenarios.
Yes, sir.
For football, if two teams are tied in the Big Ten standings, the following steps will be taken to determination, blah, blah, blah. The tied teams will be compared based on head-to-head matchups. Number two, compared based on record against common conference opponents.
Okay, there you go. All right. Now we need a slide rule. But there you have it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. Somebody must know that.
By the way, if all of those other things are tied, there's six, okay? There's like, head-to-head, common opponents with
please
the best.
Please tell me these three words are there, rock, paper, scissors.
Yes. The representative will be chosen by a random draw among tied teams conducted by the commissioner or a designee.
Let me tell you something.
They use the wheel from the Price is Right.
That's right. We should. Or the magic. the magic eight ball.
They could literally pick you. They could do it on our show.
Excuse me. How dare you say, when I said rock, paper, scissors, you say it's exactly that. It's random. Nothing random about rock, paper, scissors. There is a strategy, sir.
I strategize.
What is your strategy for rock, paper, scissors? Yeah.
I'm not going to say it out loud.
It, like,
there's three small individuals out there who can hear this.
I have like reads.
Your kids are in school.
Yeah. You never know. They get YouTube. They can watch the Roku channel late at night.
You're not going to give
them
any
arrears.
I try to look at my opponent.
You're like asking Marshall Faulk his golf handicap.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
I heard that will never happen.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll talk about something called the World Series is still happening.
Wow.
I don't know anything about it.
Hey, everybody, let's talk about Game Time Tickets. If you haven't noticed, basketball season's right around the corner, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all the great action. And now with Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, it's even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And here in Los Angeles, there's not one but two pro basketball teams with two different arenas, so you need to see the view from your seat. You also need the all-in pricing feature I've been telling you about, so you get to see your total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's the most pissed off you made Nick Saban ever?
Oh, when I took the sack second and 26 in a national championship.
That game. You mean the one that you immediately made up for with an amazing play that puts you on the map?
Yeah.
That sack?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the sack.
So walk me through how that, what he said to you, if you can, in a certain way on a live TV broadcast.
I mean, I could only see it on camera, you know, how mad he was. That was probably the most pissed off, though, I think he's ever been at me. He was squeezing his headset so hard. And then, you know, like, it was hard because the emotion was, like, so mad to so happy, you know, so fast for him. And, you know, we got into the locker room when everything settled down. I mean, he was still the same coach. You know, he pulled me to the side. Like, well, what were you thinking, you know?
So like taking the sack. After you won the game and you're picking confetti out of your hair, he still took a moment to revisit that sack.
Yeah. Being who he is, I mean, you know, he pulled me to the side. He said, you know, well, why did you take the sack?
Right.
You know, and I thought it was a good time to joke with him, you know. So we won the national championship. So I told him, well, you know, we needed more room to throw the ball, coach. You know, and like he looked at me and like I was laughing. He's like, that's not funny. I didn't know what else to do in that situation. I was like, okay, I'm sorry, coach. So I shook his hand, and he just moved on. I was like, oh. Like, oh, man.
That's amazing.
I love that story. Yeah. That made me my favorite story the whole week. So you just figured, yeah, hey.
I was like, oh,
we
maybe.
Just won it?
Yeah. Thought it was a good time to joke, but it wasn't.
Wow. Yeah, nope. It's never a good time, I guess, in that respect. But it wasn't. Back in the day. Back on the Rich Eisen Show.
Man,
listen, you know, I'm known and I appreciate this as a football guy because I've been with NFL Network for 22 years. And before that, 7 years at ESPN, I was the first ever, if you don't mind me saying, I'm very proud of this fact, first ever host, voice, heard for Major League Baseball's coverage on ESPN Radio. I was there when ESPN acquired the radio rights.
What was the first game, you remember?
I don't remember that. I wish it did. Yeah. But I was in the studio for that, and then I went to the World Series from 96 to 2003 almost every year. And then before all that, obviously, as you know, a diehard Yankee fan, and I've been a lover of baseball since Thurman Munson and Catfish Hunter and the 76 Yankees went to the World Series getting swept by the big red machine, and then the Yankees going back to back against the Dodgers. So this is a particularly visceral World Series for me. And so I'm setting this all up to basically say, you know, 50 plus years of baseball love and knowledge, and balled up into this, I think, if I may say, keen insight as to what might be ailing the Yankees right now, is that in order to win a World Series game, you have to score a run. Ah. And Yankees are having trouble doing that.
Dang it.
Little did I know when I was trying to comfort my 13-year-old son in game one as we watched Freddie Freeman's grand slam leave the yard.
Triple F.
The only thing that left the yard faster than Freddie Freeman's home run ball was Coop and I to our cars. That was the actual lone silver lining to that home run, is all Dodger fans wanted to stay there and celebrate.
Yeah.
So
you dipped.
Yeah, we dipped and got to our car right away, us and the rest of the Bronx that was there. And they were all stunned. We were all stunned. We were all like, you know, the Walking Dead zombies to our car. Little did I know, that erased the final lead for the Yankees in the World Series up to this point. Yankees haven't led in a game. Yep. Part of the reason why is Freddie Freeman keeps hitting home runs.
Yeah. Kind of crazy.
And he hadn't homered in like what? Like 40?
Like a month.
Like 40 games or something like that. And that grand slam got it started, and he's not missing. And when he doesn't miss, and Teoscar Hernandez gets on base, and Tommy Edman gets on base, and Gavin Lux gets on base and steals bases, or, you know, in if Shohei Ohtani, let's just say, for instance, knocks his own shoulder out, stealing a base at the end of one game.
Yes.
And remarkably, shows up to lead off the next game anyway. And you don't force him to, A, swing a bat, and then he walks, and then, B, you don't force him to, B, run the bases at full speed, because he walks on four pitches, and then two batters later, Freddie Freeman homers. You're not playing the odds when you're home in game three. Are you picking up what I'm putting down here?
Yeah, a little bit.
Dodgers are the better team. They're playing better. The Yankees can't get a hit when they need to. Aaron Judge is obviously an avatar for that, but now dire straits. Would love for the Yanks to win at least one so they could at least put some form of pressure on it. The problem is tonight they got Luis Gil going, and he has problems throwing strikes. And if that guy shows up on the mound against this team that is pouncing on every error, and the Yankees have made a few of them, and Aaron Boone made one. Again, I will spend the rest of my days wondering why Tim Hill was still in the bullpen and a guy who hadn't thrown in over a month was the one that they chose to bring out to face Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman and Nestor Cortez. I will go the rest of my days wondering about that. Certainly since every single time Tim Hill's come up to face Freddie Freeman, he's gotten him out.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is just substitute one of those moments for the end of game one. And tonight the Yankees are going for a series tie. And, you know, but the Dodgers are just deeper and the pitching's been terrific. Their starting pitching's been terrific.
Yeah, starting pitching. Walker Buehler was awesome last night.
And so, you know, Flaherty in game one. And yep.
What did you think of sending Stanton on that play?
You know, obviously a 2020 hindsight mistake. He's very slow, but the Yankees hadn't been getting hits with runners in period, let alone runners in scoring position. You got to wonder when's the next time their scouting report might be like Hernandez run on him, but he made the play. Dodgers have been making the plays. The Yankees have not. The Dodgers have been winning the game of inches. The Yankees have not. And the Dodgers have Freddie Freeman and the Yankees do not. And that was, you know, a few free agencies ago. When right. Freeman had the choice and he chose the Dodgers, and that's the difference in many ways in what's going on. That's your World Series MVP. He can go 0-for-4 tonight.
No doubt.
You know, and the bullpen game can keep the Yankees off stride.
No doubt.
And he's still the World Series MVP because that grand slam home run, certainly if the Yankees don't gain a lead at all tonight, that was the last time, 3-2, top 10, bottom 10, was the last time the Yankees, when Cortez threw that pitch to Freddie Freeman, last lead the Yankees have had in this World Series. They haven't led in games two or three. And so, Stanton can't run a lick, but that's what happens in the postseason. If your guy can't run a lick, then there'll be a moment where he's got to run a little bit faster than a lick. It was just stunning that they had a runner in scoring position and there was an actual hit that followed. That's the way it's been going.
Would you drop Judge in the lineup?
No. No. No, I mean, he's still Aaron friggin' Judge.
It's six for 50 playoffs.
I get it. It's just a damn shame and an absolute mystery.
It's kind of a bummer. You want to see both teams full strength go head-to-head.
I get it. I appreciate
have a long series.
I appreciate that nod.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not sitting here and calling. The Dodgers are getting some lucky bounces where there was a throw that was high. Yeah. And I think what Edmund kept his toe right on the bag for an out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, these things are the blue pit by Mookie that's dropping. But everything else, they're getting and they've earned.
Bingo. All right, Bill, we're recording now.
And please put your phone on silent.
Oh, where is my phone?
Let's go, man. Okay. Get it together over there, player. Go ahead. Pick on me the way that you want to.
I wouldn't say that to my son.
Just go.
All right, why would people want to listen to the Sims Complete podcast?
Father-son dynamic duo talking about the game of football.
We do a lot of quarterback and coach talks. It's fun. I love doing this. It's been awesome.
Sims Complete. Check us out on the Believe Network. Appreciate it.
Just search Believe, B-L-E-A-V, wherever you listen.